The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher at KLMJ in Hampton and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, thanks for taking our questions. Wanted to get your take on the latest with Afghanistan and what do you think will happen as we go forward?
Well, it's quite obvious that Biden screwed up by not listening to the warnings from his intelligence community and his leaders in the Defense Department, because they were warning him that this takeover by the Taliban could happen the way it now has happened. They didn't know for sure, but what they were warning was a possibility turned out to be true. And I expect that what we do is get the people out that we can get out as fast as we can, and that's about all we can do at this point. And then after the Taliban take over, pray that they'll be a little bit different than they were before, which isn't much to hope for, but do everything we can through the UN and the international community to make sure that they don't do what we expect they're going to do, is hurt the human rights of women and children. All the gains that have been made over the last two decades for women and children in that country, and it looks like Taliban, for religious reasons, have a different view of how women and children should be treated. Can you imagine child marriages as an example? Can you imagine women not going outside without their male partner with them, et cetera, et cetera? It's just kind of a sad commentary. But I don't expect that there's much we can do except just through international pressure. And I'm not sure how effective that's going to be. Only time will tell to really answer your question.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that. Were there steps you think President Biden could have taken for a better transition or a better exit out of Afghanistan?
If he had followed the advice of his generals and admirals, he probably would have had a slower removal of American troops, and he would have started to exit particularly the people, the Afghans that have helped us, that their life is now in jeopardy because they were working with the Americans and NATO troops. Those are the steps he could have taken. But if he had taken those steps, he probably would have saved a lot of people that maybe won't be saved now.
Senator, we know that you supported the infrastructure bill last week, but what concerns you about the other bills that the Democrats are proposing for more spending right now?
Okay. My concern is exactly the same expressed by a former Secretary of Treasury, Larry Summers, a Democrat in the Clinton administration, and even been advising this administration to some extent. Anyway, he wrote in January and repeated it again in April, "You're spending too much money. Inflation is a fact of life. You're going to feed the fires of inflation." And so I have that same concern, not only expressed in my vote against the $1.9 trillion rescue package that passed in March, which was only about 9% dealing with the virus, the other 91% with new spending programs of this administration. Well, the $4.2 trillion follow-on of this infrastructure bill is more feeding the fires of inflation and not sustainable over the long haul. It's a Bernie's Sanders wish list, and pretty much the president going along with the socialist schemes of Bernie Sanders, who labels himself as a socialist, and those things. Now, just to be perfectly intellectually honest, with you. The things I just said about those two, one appropriation and the other one a potential appropriation, your listeners or readers may wonder why I voted for the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. But remember, the infrastructure bill, when you build a highway, it's an investment. It's good for 40 years. You tear it up and lay it down again. And when we fix our bridges in Iowa that are 23% of them are structurally deficient, and we want safe travel in the state of Iowa, then those are investments. And over the long haul of either 5 or 8 years, depending on which programs you're talking about in the bill, it's not going to have the same inflationary pressure that these other pieces of legislation have when you're going to spend that money every day as far as you can see into the future.
With regards to the infrastructure bill, in addition to bridges in particular that you've mentioned, are there other funding coming specifically to Iowa or other Iowa programs that you're happy to see benefit with this infrastructure?
We have $4.5 billion for Iowa's highways. I think that first figure should have been $4.2 billion for Iowa roads, $431 million to repair Iowa's bridges. $65 billion is a national figure for broadband, and I don't have Iowa's portion of that. Maybe it's difficult to say exactly what Iowa's portion would be, but unserved areas, underserved areas have priority. Then we have $227 million for Iowa clean water and drinking water infrastructure for Iowa's communities. Then we have $17 billion for the locks and dams on the Mississippi River. Now, all those locks and dams aren't from Keokuk north. Some of it's to the south, but no further south than St. Louis. So you can see that's a great benefit to Iowa. And then there's also part of that $17 billion going to be used for mitigate flooding on the Missouri River. And then we have $3.5 billion to limit damage from natural disasters. That's kind of a preventive thing for floods and tornadoes. And then I gave you a national figure of $25 billion for airport improvement, but that would be a national figure for all airports. But Iowa would benefit proportionally from it.
Senator, any updates on efforts for immigration reform as we now speak, given what's going on, especially at the southern border?
There's a lot of relatively non-controversial immigration bills passed, or not passed, that could pass if the administration would secure the border. Now, the administration had a court decision against what it was doing at the border in one aspect, and that was the Remain in Mexico provisions that Trump negotiated. And they said they invited people in instead of remaining in Mexico, invited them in. So to answer your question, these bills that I said are relatively non-controversial, they aren't what you call comprehensive immigration bills, they can't get any support among Republicans until we secure the border. Because we pass them, we're still going to have people coming in. If it's farms, unskilled workers, professional people, you're still going to have them coming in violating our laws. And if we pass legislation, we want it to last forever.
Thank you. I just wondered, as you are visiting counties and doing town halls again this month, what are the top two or three things that Iowans are asking you about this summer?
Infrastructure, immigration, the virus, mask, things of that nature, some on taxes, some on agricultural issues like helping the cattle feeders like my legislation does, etc. Okay. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.